While an orange clown is effortlessly ruining the world, this sex clown will save it. Or so she says. Betty Grumble, a maniacal feminist contagion, wild beauty queen, and Sydney Fringe ambassador presents Betty Grumble's Love and Anger, or Sex Clown Save the World Again, grooving along to her version of an experimental disco cabaret with a good dose of eco-sexual experiences. Betty joins us now. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. How are you going?
Yes, I'm good. I'm in the sunshine. Feels good. Happy, happy.
I mean, you've just come from the Fringe, so it would have been a bit grey over there.
Oh, Edinburgh. Yeah. Beautiful Edinburgh can be rainy, but that's got its beauty as well. It's such a wild ride, but it's good to be home.
Yeah. How was the Ed Fringe this year for you?
Really good. Big success. Lots of full rooms and full hearts. I was doing two shows a night and, yeah, connecting with lots of beautiful people.
Beautiful. Now, if people don't know, you're a sex clown. What is a sex clown? How did you start out as a sex clown?
What is a sex clown? A sex clown, there's a long history of sex clowns. There's just some really fabulous ones in Australia that I've been lucky enough to work with and be mentored by. Glitter Supernova has paved the way for a lot of people in our community. And I think she and I would agree that a sex clown can be defined as somebody who uses their body to make people laugh and be seduced and stimulate the idea that there is no one way of being. It's about playfulness and reclamation of your wild womanhood.
Wild womanhood, I love that. Now, clowns, we have political clowns. We have terrifying clowns carrying around red balloons. Where does a sex clown fit in the scheme of clowns?
I mean, the clown is a sacred ancient figure that acts as someone that can be a catalyst for catharsis in a room. There's lots of different ways of clowning. I just think that it means something different to everybody. There's that really kind of commodified idea of the clown, but I think the clown for me can also be a shamanic individual. So I guess that's where I get tickled by that kind of sensation.
Yeah, I mean, like, from something that's supposed to make people laugh, it also can terrify and just...
Yeah. Those collisions, I think, are what I'm interested in, especially with my new show, colliding comedy and horror together and love and anger and all of these. I know that I feel overwhelmed by the state of things. So it's good to throw everything in the pot and let it boil. And I think people enjoy... watching a clown-like individual work their way through the mess of things. I'm a big advocate for chaos in my arts practice as a way through into some kind of wish towards a utopia.
I mean, you've been touring with Sex Clown Saves the World. So what's Love and Anger? How's it different from your previous show?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, whether it's a sequel, whether it's a prequel, it's a frequel, or rather I think I, in the last couple of days, decided that it is part of a cycle. So the last show ends in a particular way, and then this show begins in the same place, and then we go deeper from there, but maybe come back out the other side to whirl round again. I guess if we're going to think about how it's different to part one, we didn't save the world yet. So we're going to come back and try again. And this time I feel like I'm allowing myself to drop into my own vulnerability in different ways. I went on a pilgrimage to meet, I guess you could call her a sex clown, but a total, she's a performance art hero of mine and many people. Her and her partner, Beth Stevens, are running an eco-sex symposium. So I went and met Annie Sprinkle, who's an amazing advocate for sex positivity and pleasure as a radical act. And meeting her and attending the Eco-Sex Symposium really allowed me to see myself as a practitioner in a different way and remind myself that pleasure was a big part of why I made work and that I wanted to, in this new show, invite the audience into my pleasure as well, especially as a woman. To witness a woman and her pleasure on stage is a radical act. because there's still so much shame around sex and the body that coming back to those concepts for me was really important. And it's linked to the planet as well and to nature and how we connect to the earth.
Yeah, I mean, why is it now, even this day and age where, you know, we're always talking about how society's so sexualized, that sexuality is still such a radical act? Why do you think that is?
I think it's about control. I think it's about control. There's so much shame inbuilt into ways that normative regimes of power want to restrict and control what we do and how we use our bodies. There's so much angst wrapped up in that. That just the simplicity of a fleshy body appearing in front of people, you know, in a way than other to please a male gaze, use that language, that really disrupts people. I mean, even Betty, even me in my appearance, in my dragged up sensibility and the hyperfemininity, the way my fleshy body can make people react with anger or with usually with love, abundance of love, but the desire to need to know whether I'm a man or a woman is something that still happens, and it just goes to show how much regulation there still is around how our bodies are meant to behave.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me in that aspect as well. But touching back on something you mentioned before about ecosexuality, what is that and how does that play into that?
Ecosexuality is a beautiful word and movement that I discovered a few years back that's really allowed me to drop into my spirituality and sensuality. So I went to this eco-sex symposium and Annie Sprinkle and Beth Stevens ran that, and they define eco-sexuality as it's a sexual identity, it's a new sexual identity. But for me, I really like what they say about repositioning the idea of Mother Earth to Lover Earth. So instead of, you know, our human bodies thinking that we're entitled to take from the planet, we're going to reimagine ourselves as lovers, and that the relationship is sustainable and beautiful.
You're asking for a lot. I mean, it's a beautiful concept, but in this world.
Yeah. It's asking to, unplug or at least be aware of how we consume, but also how we treat our own bodies and ask where our bodies, as Annie would say, end and where nature begins. And it's just, you know, it's flower power stuff. And I've really think it's still very powerful in terms of the rebellious spirit and giving ourselves love energy to condition ourselves against an increasingly anxious, fear-mongering, bigoted environment that we're experiencing across the planet.
Speaking of flower power, you were selling like gorgeous piece of artwork that you've painted using your vulva.
Yeah, well, I haven't sold any of those yet. I actually give them away during my show.
So will we see them at Sydney Fringe? Will people be getting vulva artworks?
Oh, yes. You attend the show and you are pretty much guaranteed to walk away with a an authentic, one-of-a-kind print. And they've been, they're like little Rorschachs, little prints that happen during the show. And it's such a simple thing. And I'm not the first person to collide my body up against a canvas and, you know, look back at it. And it's art. But the act of one's yoni hitting the paper has been... It's been really interesting to see how that has agitated or inspired people.
The reaction been? It's like, oh my gosh, like we've heard of Picasso, but vulvas.
Vulva. There's a lot more room for men to play with their bodies. I think people, but there's something about the vulva that, you know, in my show as well, I display my body, invite people to look. It's amazing how many people don't even look at their own body. There's a lot of people that I meet post-show that have a lot of gratitude around finally seeing a vulva. And I think that, I mean, we come into this world screaming and naked. It's such a funny thing that we don't then look at ourselves and see our bodies. yeah, so I'm excited to be a conduit for that expression. And, you know, people don't have to ride around naked, but I think that we should be allowed to without shame.
Well, Betty, thank you for trying to save the world again using your body one step at a time.
We can do it.
We can do it.
It's all about the attitude. Yeah, well, my show is only playing for 3 nights, and that's next week. It's the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at the Fringe Hub. You can get tickets online at sydneyfringe.com. And I've even got a little code going on for half-price tickets for the Thursday. And the code is, all caps, love energy.
Beautiful. All about the sexual experience there. Yeah. But Betty, thank you again. We hope to see you at the Fringe.
Yeah, thank you, beauty. Have a beauty one.
You too. Ooh. Betty Grumble there, Love and Anger, as she mentioned, will be showing from this Thursday to Saturday, and it'll be definitely an unmissable, outrageous event. She'll put all those details to get tickets on 2SER.com.